Welcome to Happy Hour.
Definitely Dynamite. Let's rock again. All right.
I jump his bones.
Yeah, she's tripping Jack Daniels. It all rules. All that shit rules.
Run back my cart, drink a few beers, and puke on some unsuspecting victims.
Hell yeah.
I never get tired of our drunken Judas Priest fans.
They're so fantastic. I would party with them every day.
It sounds like a good time that they're having.
And you know what? I bet they still are. They're probably in their 50s by now.
And then still partying like that. She'd still jump these bones.
She's still jumping everybody's bones. She's Miss Everybody's Bone Jumper.
Welcome to Happy Hour. Here we are again.
Yes.
I love these.
The Shabby Bar and Grill is now open.
Open right? For business, and we got drink specials and half-price apps. And, of course, we're here to do some vinyl-related games and trivia. All of your favorite games will be making an appearance again this week, and we just can't wait to get into it.
Amen. So grab yourself a hot top. The booze is flowing and the drinks are cheap.
Speaking of cheap.
Yes.
Liz Morgan is running the controls back over there.
Wow. Hey, you're not making any friends, Ryan. Not
you
making any friends.
Right into that one.
Thank you for setting me up for that one, AD. How you doing, Liz?
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. She's got her cocktail. She's got a cigarette there and just kicking back. And you look like you're at a bar.
Thank you.
It's a bar.
Really.
It's a bar with microphones.
The only thing that's missing is a liquor license.
Well, and strippers. Well, they're right outside, but you don't want to see them.
I don't want.
She's brought with her Sal 5000. What's up, Sal 5000?
All that glitters is not gold.
No, it's not.
Geez. Well, you know what? She sounds wise. She sounds like she's learned a little.
She is a computer. Yeah. She knows everything.
Uh-oh.
Well, should we give a shout-out to our friends over at nameonanything.com, AD?
You know we should, Ryan. And I read somewhere, and I quote, that he who writes on bathroom walls shits their shit in little balls. And I also read that he who reads those words of wit probably had the good sense to go to nameonanything.com instead of scrawling his bad poetry in a crap house, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
I get it. In today's do-it-now society, if you want to get your name out there, I suppose a public bathroom wall is a pretty good start. But if you want to get serious about it, get a hold of our pals and yours at nameonanything.com. They'll put your name, company logo, band photo, or whatever you want on anything, t-shirts, hats, bumper stickers, even toilet paper. That's right, soft, absorbent shit tickets with your name or picture on it. Talk about getting shit-faced, Ryan. Woo! Anything you want on anything you want. nameonanything.com.
How about we whack off 10% off your order.
A little bathroom humor there, yes. Well done.
10% off your order when you mention Shabby Road Record Shows, how you heard about the great people over at nameonanything.com. All right, man. Well, I'm ready to play some games.
A little disturbing how you coupled masturbation and public bathrooms together there, Ryan. But
and how quickly you
We don't listen. We don't judge. We're your friends.
No, I don't do that. Anymore.
Right, or any less.
So, we got some great games here tonight. We've got a happy track. AD, you got a happy track?
I have a very happy track. It's a sad happy track, but it's a drinking happy track.
All right. Sad and drinking goes together like
Shabby Road and your mood.
I was going to say burgers and fries, but whatever. Everybody's favorite game is back and harder than ever. One of your films, maybe?
Of course. It is. And you know what? It was harder than ever. I was I made a comeback, if you know what I mean. Well, you know, the little blue pill.
That's the one you did with Brandy.
Hey, Brandy.
Brandy Snifter.
She's a fine girl. She's a fine girl.
But what I was driving at was the game. Heaper Poe is back again. I just got a whole batch of new Heaper Poe. That's what we have. If you've never heard the Happy Hour before, I'm taking Uriah Heep lyrics and Edgar Allan Poe quotes from poems. And you have to guess whether it comes from Edgar Allan Poe or Uriah Heep.
An endless supply of Gothic speak, if you will.
I was a little concerned because when I first brought in the game, I did about 15 or 20 questions. And then I thought, man, I can't possibly keep this up because there can't be that much overlap.
Oh, come on. Are you kidding?
Au contraire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're talking about Heap, dude.
Yeah, this is going to go on for a long time.
Yeah. Like I said, endless supply of godspeak. Yeah.
Endless supply. And of course, Liz has the quiz that we're going to do, a little rock and roll trivia down here.
Yes, luscious Liz's rock and roll quizzes.
Yeah.
I miss doing that.
I don't remember who won last time.
Oh, I did. No, I don't think I did. I doubt I did.
I want to say that we did really bad last. Now that I think about it, it was pretty darn bad.
One time I had that hit my head real hard and was smoking that smart weed. I freaking killed. That was one time. I was on fire.
You were like a savant.
Steven here the last time we did it?
Steven Seaborg was with us, yes.
Yeah.
And he did well.
He probably won.
Yes, Steven won.
He's so much smarter than all of us combined.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, what else? Oh, price hike.
Oh.
How do we play price hike, AD?
Well, we play price hike by taking three albums and pricing them in order, lowest to highest, according to the average at Discogs. And we'll get into that later. I brought three completely unrelated records, Ryan. They have nothing to do with each other. They are so random. And I thought that would just kind of throw things into a weird little spin this week.
Oh, you're making it difficult for me.
Yeah, it's just going to be really random. It's a head scratcher this time.
Yeah, there's always a controversy on whether we include shipping or not in the,
no
in the price
included.
Hike game.
Yeah, no one, none over here, Ryan.
So wrong.
Okay.
And the first game we're going to play, though, is everybody's favorite, where we're going to really start duking it out and battling. We got to throw one of these records off, AD. We have got to throw a record overboard. And it's my turn to dole out the records. Liz, if you would please launch into that.
All ship that's going to ship. Is that
all
what they say? Ship that's whatever.
All ashore is going ashore. All right. Yes, that's right. I got three records here, AD, but there's danger in the high seas.
Ooh.
And we've got to throw one of these, jettison one of these records right off the ship. Otherwise, we all perish.
Arrgh.
Into the briny deep.
Ooh, and a sailor's death it will be.
That's right. No one's going to save us except if we just got to throw one of these off. Otherwise, we're all going to die.
But I have a feeling it's going to be a hard choice.
It is going to be a difficult choice which one of these records gets thrown off. All right. To Nat, AD.
Oh.
The three records I have chosen.
So we are in a canoe?
We're in a fan boat.
We're in a paddle boat.
It is Southern Rock Night on the ship. I have brought with me three Southern rock records.
Yeehaw.
You sound like a Southern evangelist.
Yes.
Well,
Jesus.
If he don't get rid of one of these records, we're going to see the Lord, let me tell you.
If it was up to me, I'd burn all of these for Jesus. All right, I could say probably one word, and you'll know what the first Southern rock band is going to be. Woman.
Well, Black Hook, Arkansas.
Of course, I brought the legendary Raunch and Roll Live.
I can tell you right now, that ain't going nowhere, buddy.
A Shabby Road favorite, Black Hook, Arkansas's Raunch and Roll Live. If you have never heard that record, it is astonishingly good.
I don't care
good.
What you bring out next. This one ain't getting wet.
Well, we'll see. Black Oak Ross, it comes out in February 1973, that record. We have... He's looking at the back picture of Jim Dandy's missing teeth. I believe this record has made four appearances on the regular show.
I hope so.
If I'm not mistaken. We'd have to consult the archives. But, all right, we're going up next against this seminal record of Black Oak, Arkansas Live. I can say one word and you'll guess what it is.
Okay.
The one word being Todd.
Johnny Winter.
Johnny Winter.
Pull this bus over.
Pull this bus over. I brought Captured Live from March 1976. This album is a scorcher.
Maybe his best record, period.
The band is on fire.
Yeah, that's a good record. Look at that crowd.
Yeah, they're playing some kind of big
Texas,
probably
Enormo
Texas
Dome. They don't make anything. That's the Texas-sized stadium right there.
That's a big stadium they're rocking, and they are not holding back anything. All members of the four-piece band there are just throwing down. Boney Maroney kicks it off, and it's just amazing. Sweet Papa John at the end contains one of the fiercest guitar solos you'll ever hear. it just goes, I mean, the whole album is just amazing. Captured Live, mm-hmm. 1976 is that record from Johnny Winter. If you've never listened to Johnny Winter and you're kind of like, I'm not a big blues guy. No, no.
He's a rock and roller. I wouldn't put him in the blues category.
I don't know if I've got one word that'll make you guess who the third band is.
Try me.
Let's see. I can't think of one. It's just, can I do two words?
Yeah, sure.
50 years.
Molly Hatchet.
50 years.
Who has been in business for 50 years?
Oh, the Double Z's.
Double Z's.
Oh,
that's right. I got Trace Ombres.
Oh, Lord Almighty.
Trace Ombres there from ZZ Top. We'll round out the three. One of those has to go. ZZ Top's Trace Ombres released on my birthday, July 26th, back in 1973.
Hmm.
Yeah. Although I was born a year earlier, but it was my first birthday. crapping myself still, probably.
Well, I was too, and I was well into my 20s.
So one of these has to go, AD. And you guys listening at home, please let us know which one you would throw off too. You can find us on social media everywhere, on Facebook and Twitter. Well, I guess that's not really everywhere, but
no,
that's everywhere.
At Shabby Podcast, or hit us up on the forum on our website, shabbyroadrecordshow.com. All of these things. We want to hear from you on all of these games. So, AD, you want to go first?
Dang, dude. I'm keeping Black Oak, Arkansas.
You will never get rid of that
album. That's not going anywhere.
Wow, I thought maybe
that's a tough one. You know, honestly, this is a great ZZ Top album, but it contains a few songs that I'm a bit worn out on, having played them in clubs and bars.
Yeah, I didn't read off the songs.
Waiting for the Bus, Jesus Just Left Chicago, which is great. It's great classic, but I've played it 1,000 times. So if I don't hear it again, mm-hmm. kind of okay.
Okay.
It's got Beer Drinkers and Hellraisers, which, again, played that 1,000 times.
Yeah.
It's also got LaGrange on side two, which, again, played 1,000 times. But it does have Move Me On Down the Line, which is great. Precious and Grace, which is amazing.
You can't get anywhere else.
Right. And then there's Johnny Winter, this live energy on this.
Yeah.
Dude, I hate to say it. I wouldn't call this my least favorite of the core ZZ Top records.
Oh.
But I would probably have to toss the Double Z's.
You can't toss the Double Z's.
It's ZZ and Top. You got the rolling papers wet. For crying out fucking loud, AD, you threw the rolling papers into the water.
Now,
so Double Z's goes in a drink, I think. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, Liz.
We got. Top.
Oh!
Whoa, Liz doesn't have to think about it.
That was like, dang.
Why? Why is ZZ Top?
It's so overplayed.
Ah.
I'm with you on that.
I just kind of get tired of hearing it. I mean, honestly, I think if they come on the radio, I'll push something else.
Oh, okay.
If the B-sides, if the sort of the non-singles were stronger, like Manic Mechanic was on Duguelo and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So if the B-sides were stronger, there's a couple really good ones on there, but it's just the worn outness, I think. I agree, totally agree with you, of the main ones,
the main
singles
ones.
And the hits and the bar tunes that I just, I'm like, ah,
again.
I could probably do, I could probably do without that. So. What do you think,
Brian? You know, I'm leaning towards throwing Johnny Winter off only because I have lived with that record for decades. I got that record back in the 90s and just fell in love with it and really played the shit out of it. So the thing about the Trace Ombres record is that I never owned it when I was younger. I do know the songs, the hit songs that
you
spoke
damn
of.
Well oughta.
I know the Beer Drinkers, LaGrange, Jesus Just Left Chicago, Waiting for the Bus. Those are all songs that you're right, they've been kind of played to death. But it's those deeper tracks that I'm not familiar with that are really cool on Trace Ombres.
They are good. I mean, they are good. But but when you get like Rio Grande Mud, there's a depth and a bluesiness to that.
Yeah.
This, they started going mainstream radio-y a little bit. They found the radio dial.
Yeah, you know.
And that's not a bad thing.
Right.
But
So none of us even brought up, entertained the notion of taking Black Oak, Arkansas off the table.
No.
Crazy.
That's such a good record. It's still new to me, too. It's still fresh, even though I've had it for 7, 8 years.
I've had it since I was, what, 12, 13, oh and it's still, I could put that record on right now and giggle the entire record.
It just makes you smile.
Chuckle.
Yeah.
Like have a chuckle fest for what, 28 minutes and 49 seconds.
All right, I've made my decision. I think I'm going to throw ZZ Top
off.
I'll join you in hoisting the beards off of the boat. And
a rare sweep, huh?
Yeah, well, I think what you said, you know, there's a Rio Grande Mud, there's Deguelo, there's other great ZZ Top records that have deep cuts that you don't always hear, so... I never want to hear LaGrange. I'd never, ever want to hear it again.
No.
I could say that about Beer Drinkers and Hellraisers, too, probably.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Wow, a rare sweep at the show.
Clean sweep. We all threw the double Zs.
But we're safe.
But we're safe. At least we're going to live.
Yes.
We're going to live. So let us know what you guys think, man. Let us know which one you'll throw off. Is it Black Oak? Is it double Zs? Or is it...
Johnny Winter.
Johnny Winter. All right. Well, Liz, just go ahead and pull us into dry dock there, if you don't mind.
Dry dock. That sounds like somebody's quitting drinking, and I don't think I like that. I've been in dry dock for 6 weeks. Where's my chip?
Is that what it's called?
I don't know.
All right. Well, that was fun.
That was fun. That was a good one. Good set of records there, right?
I understand we're going to do some shopping next.
Yodelahee-hoo. Yes, we are indeed. A little price hike for everyone. Oh, my computer's gone dark.
Got your running shoes on?
Attention, shoppers. It's time to play Price Hike.
Yes, we're going to do a little price hike here. Here we go, gang, with another edition of our popular pricing game, Price Hike. So wake up, the yodelers, because we're going to need to get these records priced and on the shelves. The rules are simple, Ryan and Liz. The rules are very simple. I have with me three pieces of vinyl right here in this box. We're going to need our contestants. That's you, Ryan. And all you people at home can play along, too. We're going to put these in order according to the price. The vinyl will need to be placed on our game board.
Which is the couch, old brownie?
I guess it's the couch tonight, yes. Left to right, price lowest to highest accordingly. The contestants will have 30 seconds to get the records in the proper order and may have as many attempts as they like.
In that 30 seconds.
In that 30 seconds. When the contestant feels they have the vinyl in the proper order, Ryan, will signal the judges. If the contestant has put the vinyl in the wrong order, the judges will indicate with a buzzer. With a buzzer. And the clock will keep ticking and the game will resume. Prices of the vinyl are assessed according to the average price on Discogs and are said to be in very good to very good plus condition for both the vinyl and the cover, including any accompanying artwork or inserts. Prices.
Okay, here we go.
Do not include shipping.
I got another question. We've argued about the shipping before, but.
Okay.
You said average price.
Average.
Average. So what? How do you determine what an average price is?
Well, I should say median price.
So you find...
If there's one for $20 and one for $40, if the highest is 20, if the lowest is $20, the highest is 40,
uh-huh.
Then it's 30. I go right there, the median.
Oh, you do that. Yeah. Okay.
It has to be very good. To very good plus. So
yes.
So if there's like good or whatever, that's not in my bot. That's not part of my bottom. That's not part of my bottom. I was speaking of bottom, I had a John Bonham beard in that one. Yes.
Wow. Yes. Oh, yeah. Going like later 70s.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, right.
It's a great one. I love that one.
Okay.
I actually enjoyed that film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Some great co-stars in it. So here are the selections, Ryan. I'm going to pull them out one at a time. First of all, from 1984, the original release of Prince and the Revolution's classic Purple Rain, Ryan. On Warner Brothers Records and Tapes, this was produced by the Purple One himself and his Revolutionaries. This album includes the original poster, which actually isn't in it. It's on my little poster thing that I've gotten. And... It includes so many memories of the 80s, right? I mean, every song on this record is a classic.
Kick ass.
And remember, whatever price you may have initially paid for this record,
He died.
Guess who kicked the bucket? Yeah, so he cashed in his happy hour chips in April of 2016. So
can I ask a question about the poster? If it's listed as, does it have the poster in it for the price?
Yes. Medium
with price?
With all media, yes.
Okay.
With all media, yeah, that's kind of the...
Ooh, that's going to fetch a pretty penny.
Okay, so there's that. Now, next up, from the Mott Collect... Oops, shit. From the... Oops, I'll do this one next. This is better. A 7-inch... Come on, where the fuck?
Get that drop.
I'm wrestling my box here. Hang on, I can't get the... Don't look for a second. Right out, fuck them up. Where the fuck did it go? Ah, here it is. Jesus Christ.
You got three records in there, and you're having all kinds of trouble.
The thing
here
is, this one's a 7-inch,
okay,
45 RPM single, Ryan, the original release on Disneyland Records of the Mickey Mouse Club March, with the Mickey Mouse Club closing theme, the sort of the sad version, if you will. Disneyland Records, 1962, written by Mickey Mouse Club TV show host Jimmy Dodd. Originally sold right here, Ryan.
Yeah.
For 29 cents, says so right there on a jacket, right?
Oh, 29 cents.
Now, dude, the Mouseketeers, right? Annette Funicello, right? Mm-hmm. Cubby O'Brien, the little drummer boy, right? But, dude, the hot one to me, like my first, like, kid boner, I think was, Mouseketeer Cheryl.
Oh, okay.
Cheryl Holdridge.
Mm.
Oh, she's so cute.
What about Darlene?
She was she's pretty cute, too. I had a thing for Cheryl. Darlene was pretty cute.
Nobody knows what you're talking about.
Mouseketeers.
Mouseketeers.
I don't even remember that. I kind of vaguely remember what it was. It might have been on reruns.
It was
I was four.
I think the show was on 55 through 59, and I was born in 59, but it was constantly in reruns. So I grew up with it. It was, to me, it was a new show. They just kept rerunning it, but holy crap. So anyway, 7-inch, 45 RPM single, Mickey Mouse Club March, Ryan.
Is that valuable? Disney stuff fetches a pretty good penny.
Yeah.
And from the Mott Collection, here is an original motion picture soundtrack to a film that never saw the light of day, Ryan.
A film that was never made?
It was made, but it was never released.
What the fuck is this?
It's called The Flasher. It was released in 1973, this album, on Green Bottle Records. The music is by an artist or band called Poolpah. P-O-O-L hyphen P-A-H.
This is disturbing on every possible level.
Now, Poolpah, Ryan, is taken from Kurt Vonnegut's fictional religion based on untruths called Bakunanism, and translate roughly into shitstorm. Oddly enough, Rupert Holmes of If You Like Pina Colada's fame is the brainchild behind the music of Poolpah and is credited as both songwriter and vocalist on the record, Ryan.
Oh my God, yeah.
So quite an eclectic three.
He arranged and conducted it, and then at the bottom it says special thanks to Rupert Holmes. Special thanked himself.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's weird because everywhere you go, there's not much info at all on this. And every site where you're looking at Rupert Holmes' discographies, he ain't claiming it.
Okay.
I listened to the record. It's a pretty fucking weird, cool record, man.
You guys listening to this, hanging out, listening to us, would you do with this record? Purple Rain, a Mickey Mouse Club 45, and this thing called The Flasher, where it's a guy in a giant... The cover is him in a big trench coat, and he's completely naked, obviously.
Almost like a superhero flying.
He's flying.
Nude.
You see a bit of a scrote.
A little bit of a coin bag, if you will.
And then on the back you have real life photographs, and one of them is a guy with a trench coat flashing and a lady with her arm or purse reared
he's
back.
Not like he's not just flashing. He's wildly flashing.
He is aggressively flashing. What in the world?
Three crazy, completely different records, Ryan. Are they? Now the question is, are one of those worthless, worth 99 cents or maybe a couple $100? You never know. What's Prince worth? What was it worth? What's going to be worth tomorrow? Those are the questions, right?
Okay. I have a guess, so I'm ready to play.
All right. Someone poked those damn Ricolo chompers. And if you're ready, Ryan, let's hit it, Ringo, and go. No, try again, Ryan.
No?
Well, you got Flash, Mickey Mouse Club, and Purple Rain. Try again, Ryan. It's... All right. Ryan, nope. I'm sorry, Ryan. He tried the Flash, the Purple Rain, and Mickey Mouse Club. That is incorrect. He's got... Nope, that is incorrect, Ryan. He's got Mickey Mouse Club, Purple Rain, and the Flash. You've got it, Ryan. Absolutely correct. You got it. Prince and the Revolution.
Is the lowest?
Purple Rain averages in, medians in, at $17.95.
Oh, that's it? Well, he sold a lot of those.
Right? He did. He did. That's the one thing that has kept that price surprisingly down. Huh. Mickey Mouse Club, March, 45 RPM single. Medians in at $19.95, Ryan.
$20 for that 45.
And the Flasher.
Get out of here.
$150, Ryan. The minimum I saw was $100. I saw some copies sealed or in mint condition for selling up to $250.
For that record called The Flasher?
That record right there. It's actually kind of a fun little goofy-ass record. I'm going to have to play some tracks off it.
You should put it in the mystery box.
And sell it.
Yeah, don't play it. Yeah, don't.
Yeah, fucking rent's due down here at the Sham.
Wow, well, we have one for sale. Yeah. It's $150?
Yeah, hey, if you're interested in getting rid of this.
Yeah.
Talking about throwing stuff
overboard. Well, that was backwards of my first pick because I went Flasher, Mickey, and Prince.
That's a tough one, right? Yeah, just, they're so different. They're completely, like, what, you know, the Mickey Mouse could have been worth a dime. Or the Flasher could have been like, okay, that's $2.99.
Nobody knows, and who cares about Rupert Holmes? That's where I can't believe that fetches that kind of dough. I wonder why.
It's weird. And again, it's unclaimed by Rupert Holmes. You won't see him claiming it in any of his discographies. None of them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I searched everywhere because who's this pool paw guy? And it kept saying Rupert Holmes. So I'm Googling Rupert Holmes all over the planet, right? And I got Bupkis. I come up with nothing. So, yeah, it's weird.
Good
one.
That was a good little price hike there.
All right.
Okay, well.
Good job, Ryan. Very good job there.
That was tough.
You're sweating.
I am sweating.
Yeah.
All right, Liz. Well, I guess we're going on to the rock and roll quiz, yeah?
The Luscious Liz.
Damn.
Rock and roll quiz.
All right, AD, it's time for us to match wits, and we hope everybody else plays along and lets us know how they do. I know listeners last time were giving us their scores, literally taking pictures of their scorecards as they went by.
We encourage that.
Please
absolutely
do that.
Play along with us. That makes it so fun.
That brought me so much joy to see that from some people like, here's what my scorecard looked like. So, all right. So we have how many questions total?
We have a total of 7 questions.
All right.
Well, that's odd.
Thank you. Good, good one.
Odd. 7.
Good one.
Odd.
Now, neither one of us have papers or pens. We're fine with that,
I'll just
right?
punch mine right into my little computer.
Okay.
Thing.
Okay, you're right.
What do you call this?
Yeah, you're going to frickin' Wikipedia over there is what you're doing.
No, dude, like I got internet down here at the Shabby Road.
That's true.
Yeah. That fast.
We have pterodactyls deliver the mail here, Ryan.
That's true. All right, so let's just hit them.
Okay, our first question is, who had a UK hit in 1973 with Merry Xmas, Everybody?
Oh, we both know that.
Oh, okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Slade.
Yep.
I mean, Slade.
Slade. So it's 1-1.
I'm still writing into my thing.
Okay, our next question. This is, you should get this. Who was the drummer on Black Oak, Arkansas's album, Great Balls of Fire?
Great Balls of Fire.
Great Balls of Fire. It has to be Tommy Aldridge.
Yes.
Wow, 2-for-2, AD.
Wow.
Wow, I'm surprised.
We're kind of doing this like paper, scissors, rock. We're doing it at the same time to see if we match.
Yeah, since we're not writing.
We should do that for now on. Just like, ready, say your answer.
Okay. Number 3.
Okay, right.
The Ab Dabs was the original name of what band?
The Ab Dabs?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, for fuck's sake. I don't know.
God,
who knows? I'm going to double Z's.
I'll say Squeeze.
No.
God,
your favorite, Pink Floyd.
Really?
What?
Pink Floyd.
Oof. Wow, good one, Liz. Dang.
Okay, number four. What song gave Black Sabbath their highest charting hit?
Okay, I will have a guess. Should we say it at the same time?
No, not yet. What song?
Their highest charting song.
Their highest charting hit.
Sabbath. Was it early Sabbath or was it late Sabbath? It's Heaven and Hell.
I'm going to say Paranoid.
Paranoid.
Yes.
Ah.
With that, I take the lead. 3-2.
Okay, the next question is, what year was Kiss Alive 2 released?
Oh, for fuck's sake.
We just had
78.
We just had this conversation about how I know record years.
And I go, how do you know? He goes, I know every Kiss record.
I know the years of Kiss records.
What is it? 78?
77, 80.
Son of a bitch. Really? God.
4-2.
Oh, it is. It is 4-2. 4-2.
That is right, right? 77?
Correct.
Oh, thank God. If it would have been 78, I would argue.
Danced. I would have swung for the disco ball here in celebration. All right. Dang it. Remember that.
Ready?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. What are the real first names to Ozzy Osbourne, Tony Iommi, and Geezer Butler of Black Sabbath?
What are they? Is it all the same?
Real first names?
Their
okay,
first names.
Let's do this.
Is it the same first name? Oh, well, okay. Ozzy?
Okay, Ozzy is John. Geezer is... Oh, fuck. Oh, God.
Let's just say Evan.
No, it's...
no, it's a... Geezer is Ron.
I don't know what Geezer is. I think I knew at one point, and I've totally blanked it.
Let's just say Ian.
I'm going to say Tony.
I'm going to say Ron. Tony's Tony. Anthony.
Or Anthony. I would say Anthony.
Wrong.
Okay. What? All right. Well, what is
you
it?
You got Ozzy correct. It's John Osbourne, Frank Iommi, and Terrence Butler.
Terrence Butler. That's right. Yeah.
Oh,
so I didn't know Frank Iommi.
Evan. Whatever.
Wow.
I was close.
Wow. Was that the last one?
Nope. Got one more.
One more. Okay, Jesus. One more. How's everybody doing?
Me, not well. I got two.
4-2. You cannot win. You can't even tie.
Okay, last question.
I'm going to go drink.
What do Triumph, BTO, and the Guess Who have in common?
I know where they're from.
So we say
the sunny beaches of?
Canada.
No.
What? Yes, they are.
They're from Canada, the three of them.
Yeah, they are. They're Canadian.
Randy Bachman was in all three bands.
Randy Bachman was never in Triumph, was he?
Yeah, he played on a couple of their records. He produced them and played on their shit.
We should get a credit for the fact that they're all three from fucking Canada.
I don't give a fuck. I can't win. It's all about me winning.
Oh, that's really, a technicality.
Yeah, it's a good one, though. That's kind of a...
Okay,
ooh.
We'll do one more.
Yeah, that shit will start a fight around here.
I know, right?
Yeah, we'll fucking do one more. Right. Jesus Christ.
Which two bands have sold the most albums?
Which
two bands have sold the most albums? So
which two bands? Mm-hmm. Ever?
Ever.
Oh, I know who. I know who.
I think we had a similar question not long ago.
I know exactly who. The Funk Brothers and the Wrecking Crew.
I don't think that's what the...
And this is including singles.
The Funk Brothers and the Wrecking Crew.
Well,
that's my answer.
I remember we had this question. So, Led Zeppelin. And I'll go with the Eagles.
You're half right.
Son of a...
Led Zeagles.
It is the Beatles with 160 million and Led Zeppelin with 105 million.
That's crazy that Led Zeppelin sold that many records.
I'm tired of most of them.
That's probably why we're so tired of them.
Right?
Why radio keeps pushing them down your throat.
God, why don't they play something off of Presence ever?
These guys sold a lot of records, so I suppose we ought to play them.
Why don't you hear Hot Song for Nowhere on the radio? Why don't you hear Carousel Ombra? Why don't you hear, like, really cool...
Look, AD, come on. We got to sell some airtime here. Come on. Nobody knows that song. They want to hear the Black Dog. They want to hear the rock and roll.
Ocean.
They want to hear the ocean. And that's that. Cashmere. Stairway to Heaven is too long now.
They cut the solos out.
We'll play the short version.
All right. Well, I think the final tally there was Ryan 4, AD 2.
You know, I think I know what my problem was.
Oh, you didn't have your thinking weed.
Yeah, I'm smarten up here. Give me a second.
You better smarten up, AD, because it's time for some heap or Poe.
Hand me my laudanum.
Is it Uriah Heep? Or is it Edgar Allan Poe?
Quoth the raven, nevermore.
Heep or Poe?
That's right, AD. It's time for Heap or Poe. This is where we're taking Uriah Heep lyrics and Edgar Allan Poe's and mashing them up. You have to guess which one is which. And Liz is usually the champ, and also Steven Seaborg did quite well last time we did a happy hour. I will tell you that these are a little more difficult this time. I'm getting better at picking when I'm picking them.
It's always tough, man. That's Heap.
We went to the Heap show, so.
Yeah.
Oh, we did.
So maybe that will give you a leg up on the competition here. It would be, you know, maybe you'll be better at it because you just recently saw Uriah Heep.
No, as you recall, I was drinking at the Heap show.
Yes, you were. Yeah. Quite a bit.
And Mick Box kissed me.
And Liz was busy making out with Mick
Box. That's an old Phil Spector. And then Mark B. And Mick Box kissed me. Boom, boom, gish, boom, boom. And Mick Box kissed me.
I couldn't help but think as I was putting these together, like, God, how funny would it be if we could have Mick Box play? I bet he would get stumped.
I bet he goes, oh, I don't remember.
I don't know if I remember he'd that. Laugh.
What a smile, that guy. What a happy dude, man.
Yeah, he's awesome. Nice. Okay. All right, you ready? Here we go. Number one, best of five.
All right.
Okay. There in the morning, flying over the hills, while many are yawning, they are crushed by our wills.
Oh, I'm writing it down.
AD, is that Heap or Poe?
That is Heap.
Yeah. Liz, Heap, from the album Very Heavy, Very Humble. That is the song Wake Up by Uriah Heap.
I knew that one.
Well done. And slowly there.
Me and Liz are giving a stink eye to each other.
And slowly there, a lady fair was walking with her pride. AD, is that Heap or Poe?
That's Heap.
Liz? Heap or Poe? And slowly there, a lady fair was walking with her pride.
Poe.
From the poetic principle. That is Edgar Allan Poe.
Oh, bitch.
This is so fun.
Dang it.
When the winds are breathing low and the stars are shining bright, I arise from dreams.
Now, is that dreams or dreams? Because, you know, that's going to make a difference on what I...
Let's go with Liz first this time. When the winds are breathing low and the stars are shining bright, I arise from dreams. Heap or Poe?
I'm going to say Heap.
I'm going to say Poe.
From the poetic principle, that is Edgar Allan Poe.
All right.
Oh, my God, we're tied.
I don't know whether I should feel good or you should feel bad. A little both.
Okay.
Meet you halfway.
Here we go. Two more to go. How was I to know your heart was unsatisfied when you never troubled to tell me no wish that you made to me?
Heap.
Yeah, because Poe didn't worry about your heart. He just cut it right out of you. So heap.
And bury it in the floor.
Yeah, exactly. That's Heap all the way.
We got two heaps. The album is Salisbury. Yeah, the song is Here Am I. That is Uriah Heep.
Horns to Liz. Over there. Over there.
Right. Last one.
All right.
What's the score? Is it you guys
three
are tied?
Three.
Ooh, we
made it. I have two.
You have three, sweetie.
Oh, yeah. You got three.
Do I?
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Right, last one. I remember everything. Everything around me. The long, dark winter till the breath of spring came close enough to drown me.
Poe.
Jeez. Yeah, that's Poe, and I'm going to say Heap.
All right. Woo, that's a good... I'm glad that you guys had two different picks there, because it is the final one, and we do have a definitive winner, thanks to AD going with a different one. I remember everything, everything around me, the long, dark winter till the breath of spring came close enough to drown me. Mm. Very heavy, very humble. No. That's I'll keep on trying from Uriah Heep.
No way. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Well done, AD, for the win.
Wow, shiver what's left of me timbers then, eh?
Good job, AD. Well played, and good job, Liz, too. You guys did very
that
well.
That was, like, intense. Liz and I were, like, going, like, we were about to fight.
What is that, 4 out of 5?
Yeah.
That was good.
You're smart again.
I still thought I only got 2 of them right, but whatever, I'll take.
Yeah, you added wrong.
All right,
well, that's
wow,
impressive. Let us know how you guys did. And on the trivia, on the Heap or Poe, on all that stuff over at the Facebooks and the Twitters at Shabby Podcast, on the forum, all that crap. AD, you have a happy track for
us
to
indeed.
Get us on out of here as we skate out of the happy hour.
I do indeed. I got Mr. Grand Ole Opry himself, Mr. Porter Wayne Wagoner.
You got a Porter Wagoner record?
I got 5 of them, Ryan. You wouldn't believe it.
Really?
I swear to God, I do.
How can you not love Porter Wagoner?
You can't not love him. He is responsible for bringing Dolly Parton into our lives.
He's the country Liberace.
He sure is a country Liberace,
yes.
He's got when he started growing his hair long, it was like, look at him.
Can you believe Porter's hair?
His hair. It's higher than my wobs.
Wobs.
So, now, he brought Dolly Parton to fame. I mean, not only as a songwriter, but as a personality, as a co-host on his TV show in the 60s, early 60s, 1961, 60-61. As an artist, and they did so many collaboration, like, you know, like duet albums together.
Yeah,
so
they were like Loretta and
they really were, man. They were like the first
really
real country duo. Yeah, they were a big deal, and he brought her fame. And he brought her along as he became a Grand Ole Opry star. He brought her along, so brought her into the Grand Ole Opry as well. So she really, with his, you know, support and together, they did a thing, not only individually, but collectively, and that's what really started for her. As a matter of fact, Dolly Parton paid tribute to their professional relationship when she penned her hugely successful I Will Always Love You about Porter Wagoner.
Yep.
What?
That song was written for him and about him, right. About their
were
relationship.
Were they romantically?
No, they were not.
But it wasn't, they did not have...
They did not.
Nope.
Do you think that Porter may have been on the...
I believe he might have had a boner or so once in a while.
I was thinking because of his flashy suits that maybe he was pitching for another team.
The man dressed well.
Okay, wow. You looked a very stern look on his face when he said that. Like, how dare you will not disparage.
The man dressed well.
Yeah, they all have those nudie suits.
So, here you go. Take a look at that. Yeah. Look at that suit. Look at that fucking suit.
Oh, my God.
So, now, notable to Porter's... legacy, if you're ever in beautiful downtown Plains, Missouri, where he was born, you may want to take a leisurely drive down Porter Wagoner Boulevard. It's over yonder past the creek, over by Junior Jones's farm. You can also watch a brief history of the Dolly Parton Porter Wagoner story on the television show Drunk History, Ryan.
Really?
It's on reruns. It originally aired in 2013, but it's forever, you know.
It's on like Hulu. And
you'll find it. Yeah, it's out there. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a little happy track called Sorrow... on the Rocks, Ryan.
Oh, that's a drinking song.
Came from 1962 originally, and it was released on this. I have the greatest hits here, but I've actually got the original one. I think this one's a little cleaner version, not as far as like filthy words, because he don't cuss.
Sorrow on the Rocks, so, you some bitch.
Now, here's the greatest. Here's the great. The thing about this, and listen to this. It's fucking infectious. My favorite part about this song is the last line of each chorus. I got sorrow on the rocks. And he goes into his little big hooky chorus, right? Where it seems like the writer, who's a guy named Tony Moon, just couldn't come up with the last line. So he just goes, right? So he's either like, I got sorrow on the rocks. And and it reminds
oh my God, what are we doing?
It rhymes with whatever line he finished with, but it's just like if he finished the other line with do.
he takes on the vowel.
Yeah.
You.
Kind of interesting.
Just gets the vowel.
Either
there.
That, or he's taking a sip of fine Tennessee. Moonshine, and we're just saying. Either way, it's awesome.
There's some funny records here that they're pimping on the back.
Oh yeah.
Porter Wagoner sings his hit songs for you. There was one called A Slice of Life. Porter Wagoner sings happy and sad.
Well.
In an apostrophe.
He swings both ways, him.
And then there's one called Y'all Come.
That was one of my
Y'all
films. Yeah. Oh, I had a Burt Reynolds thing and a shirt wide open with chest hair.
Oh.
Yeah. And that one. Yeah.
Well, there's a duet with Skeeter Davis.
Skeeter.
Porter Wagoner and Skeeter Davis.
Woo, Skeeter.
Cool.
I love Skeeter Davis.
I guess that she was before Dolly.
Oh, it's a chick?
Yeah, Skeeter Davis is a woman.
Yeah, Skeeter.
No, I was picturing a dude in overalls.
No. Yeah. Skeeter's a woman.
With a harmonica. A
or how would Jim Dandy say Skeeter's a woman?
Skeeter's a woman. Chicka-chow, chicka-chow, yeah. Skeeter's my woman.
So, all right, we ready to do this?
Let's do this. Sorrow on the Rocks, right?
I'll listen
Porter
to this.
Wagner.
Porter, how bad could it be?
Porter, what's the name? Porter Wayne Wagoner. Mr. Grand Ole Opry. His Seth.
Just pour me sorrow on the rocks. Bartender, sorrow on the rocks will do. The seat of my pants is slick from a bar stool, and my hand's in the shape of a glass. My eyes look like a road map of Georgia, and it's a shame I've lost my class. One broken heart can do strange things to a fella who can't take pain. But in this 100-proof condition, I ain't in no position to take her back again. Tender sorrow on the rocks will do. I'm trying to drown my troubles, so make it a double. Looks like the hair on my head ain't never met a comb, and my face is a bearded mess. My hand shakes lightly, and I have to walk lightly, or I weave from right to left. The music on the jukebox don't mean a thing, 'cause I'm too far gone for a song. I sure feel bad 'cause my baby ain't here, and I'm sorry that I done her wrong. So pour me sorrow on the rocks, bartender, sorrow.
Well, that's just a good old country. That's a good old country song there, isn't it?
What do you do when you can't figure out the last line? She loves you. Oh, what? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You ought to do she loves you. It's affirmative.
na 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 na. Hey hey, goodbye.
You know what, Robert
Porter Wagoner?
Robert Plant. It ought to be. And she's buying a stairway. That's what it ought to be.
Won't you fly free?
Oh, that's going to do it for us there. Woo. Porter Wagner's going to...
Happy hour nine.
Take us home. Porter Wagner's driving. He's our Lyft driver.
Oh, but look at the suit.
That's a beautiful suit.
It'll light your way home.
It's a handsome song, bitch.
That's right. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. Happy Hour is concluding this installment right here. It's finally over.
You can sleep, but you can't sleep here.
That's right. So we better get on the road.
Because we've spiked your drink with amphetamines.
All right, let's thanks to Liz Morgan for running the controls over there with Sal 5000. Appreciate
you
guys.
Don't handle, shake, bump, or sniff the suspicious item.
Oh, wow.
I believe she's talking about the thing we saw on the Flasher album cover, the suspicious
item. That is a suspicious, what did you call it, a coin?
Coin purse.
Coin purse. Yes. Oh, let's get out of here. Oh, my porter's honking the horn out there, driving the Lyft. Will you boys get the fuck out here? Let's get home.
A portion of the Shabby Road Record Show is fearlessly brought to you by those crazy bastards at nameonanything.com. Use the promo code SHABBY at checkout and save 10% on your order. nameonanything.com.